So hearing Yahweh's word and doing Yahweh's word is what we're going to be discussing here today. What was last week's teaching about? Sometimes I think to myself, what was my last teaching about? And I'm like going, what did I eat for lunch yesterday, for crying out loud? And then I kind of laugh and I think about those people who talk about that, and they said, you know, as you get older, you know, once you get over 50, 60 years old, your memory's, you know, the second thing to go. I can't remember what the first one is, but, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's true. And I'm like going, I got to remember that joke. Okay, and so it is. It's one of those things that if you don't apply it, and so I think to myself, when I was a radio operator in the military, we had to know the stuff inside and out. I mean, it was just required. They'd drill you on it. And then after I retired, the first few years, it was all still pretty good. You know, somebody could talk and I could snap right back into it. I know it is. And now I look back at it and I'm like going, you know, I have forgotten more than I learned when I was in there. And so I think to myself, just if that happens with something that I did for 17 years as a career, what happens to a believer who does not keep refreshing and keep doing this? And so that's what this is. That's what we're going to be looking at here tonight. So, things that we forget and things that we do. Can you guys all see that? All right. Okay. When I was looking for these, you would not believe how many people try to find cop cars that have those. And there are quite a few of them. And I thought to myself, golly, if I get behind there, I'm going to videotape that for a while. That's good stuff. But we all do. It's human nature. And so I think to myself, you know, go to the grocery store. How many times have you left the grocery store and left a bag? Mm-hmm. Okay? I have gone through drive-through and go to the window and pay, and they thank you and hand you a receipt, and I drive off. And I'm like going, I don't feel full. You know? And so it's one of those things that you're like going, you know, kind of focus in and get the grip of it, yeah, and keep remembering these things and walk yourself through. You don't have to hold them if you don't want to. But to keep yourself focused and continually renewed. I think to myself, as you know, as we go through this, I don't want to jump out of place here, but as I go through this, that there's different callings for different people. And so if I told somebody, I feel like myself, one of them is I think of myself as being a peacemaker a lot of times. That I don't want to be that, but a lot of times I'm like going, I can be that person to be a peacemaker, okay? And I think to myself, you know, the one job I don't want is to be the guy who has to continually, hey, it's enough. Okay? I'm like going, he's no fun. You know, and I think about that, and I'm like going, but there's a calling for that. Now, if that's a person's calling, that's what they should be doing. And the same way as I'm going through, I think to myself, I can't tell somebody else, well, you need to do this, and you need to do this. But there are common things within the Word that are undisputable that all of us are to be doing. It's not, you know, it's like where you hear somebody say, well, some people have this gift, some people have this gift. No, we all have that. Okay? Everybody has that. Now, some people maybe be a little better in some of those types of things, but we all have those. But to fit in together, Yahweh's put us together as a body. You don't have, like on the Adams family, you know, the hand that walks across and, hey, go out and teach the word. You know, it's like going with one mouth. Okay? That's why we are together as a body, is that we all have positions. And the problem is if one person's failing in their position, the rest of the body is going to hurt because of that. That's where it's okay, let's do it. I'm just as guilty as anybody else as falling and not being able to fill my position. I'm like, oh, okay, yes, I will go out and I'm going to go do this. So let's turn to James. This is going to kind of be the first focal point of this. This is back there a ways.
Page 235.
Thank you. Somebody get that kid a candy bar.
Yeah.
I actually meant to grab some, and I was going to say, whoever can call them out first, I'm going to throw you a candy bar. Because I didn't mark the pages. All right, James, 19 through 25, chapter 1, and I will go ahead. Well, actually, one of you kids want to read this for me, please, 19 through 25?
I will.
Nice and loud.
Ye know my brethren beloved, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For a man's anger worketh not Yahweh's righteousness. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflow of baseness, in meekness welcome ye the word fitted for inward growth, which is able to save your souls. Become ye doers of the word, and not haters only. reasoning yourself astray. Because if any is a word hearer and not a doer, the same is like unto a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observing himself, and he gone away, and straightway, if he hath escaped him, what manner of man he was. But he that hath obtained a near view unto the perfect law of liberty, hath taken up his abode by it, becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a work doer. The same happy in his doing shall be.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay. So we're going to kind of take a look at this and kind of go over this in my PowerPoint. I don't know what's going on with it. It locks up way too much. So let's see if I can get back to it. I'm sorry, guys. I might have to do an update on it. It gets goofy sometimes. So here we are. This is where we're supposed to be. Okay. So the thing is the instructions. Who here is an instruction reader? I know Sean is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm partial. Okay. I will tell you that. Yeah. I first thing I do, I pull the instructions out and I set out the picture of what it's ultimately supposed to look like. Here's the goal. Here's this. And then in between, it gets pointed. Okay. I can't figure out which one. And they, you know, you have those bags of all the screws and everything, and they all look the same size, and you're like going, B4, six of them. So now I have to go through there. Well, there's like 15 of these, and so that's where I have to use the instructions, okay? Now, this is, when it comes to life and the Word, this is where we are supposed to be, and the instructions are clear. And when we void from the instructions, expect problems, okay? If we change the instructions, expect problems, okay? And that's where it comes to us. Each person has to know those, because you're going to come into contact with somebody who doesn't know it. They just wanted to look at the picture, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's okay. So you're going to come in contact with those people, and people may even come to you and ask you, hey, what's going on? Tell me about this. This is where we need to know it, and this is the instructions that we're referring to. So, as we look at it, when we're counseling somebody, because this scripture that we just did in James, this is kind of a cool thing, because it covers a few different aspects. Number one, what are we supposed to be when it comes to hearing?
Swift
to hear. What does that mean?
Pay attention.
It means that you need to be eager to hear, okay? Two ears, one mouth. It should be something that we look at and say, okay, so swift to hear, not slow to hear, swift to hear. To be listening, to actually hear and figure out what's going on. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Okay? That's a problem for me when it comes to those mechanical things. I was blessed with patience with people. I'm not when it comes to mechanical things. So I have to take lots of breaks. What, you too?
I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
She concurs?
Yeah, she concurs. Oh, yeah, she's told me. She gets mad at me. You need to stop. And I'm like, I know. So, okay, so this is it. So these are instructions. This is as we're going through. When we're communicating with somebody, this is what we're looking at. You might keep a finger here. Okay, we're going to kind of come back to it. We've already read the scripture. But go to Proverbs 20, verse 5. Because as we're discussing counseling with somebody, who's got the page for it? Don't let me beat you. Almost there. I'm there. All right. Good job. All right. Would you read it for me, Elijah, please? Yeah. 20, verse 5.
Deep water is counsel in a man's heart, but a man of understanding will draw it out.
Okay, and so what's this saying is, this is Rotherham, and Rotherham is extremely poetic and it's beautiful, but what it's saying is, the counsel of a man's heart is deep water. Okay. In other words, it's not a shallow thing that we can just look into and immediately figure out what's going on. Deep water is counsel of a man's heart, but a man of understanding will draw it out. In other words, a person who is involved, who cares, who's looking at it, possibly getting words from Yahweh, can draw out that, okay, as we're going through there. So this is important to do that. It's a recipe that you see in the instructions. You're like going, oh, okay. So it's not necessarily a cookie-cutter approach to things. It's something that that Yahweh says for one person, it might be close to the surface of getting to what the issue is. For somebody else, it may be way buried down in there, and that's what it's saying, okay? But a faithful man who can find it will draw it out. Now we're back to anybody who saved their spot. We're going to be looking over that James passage here. You don't have to go to it, but if you want to, feel free to head back to that verse. And so we're going to kind of look this over and kind of dissect it a little bit. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflow of baseness. What is baseness? So, you know, to me it would be like for any instructions that are made for Tim, would be take lots of deep breaths through this process, okay? Lots of deep breaths. If you get, you know, you get to a problem, take a break, okay? So this is the same thing, malice, malicious. I have a mind that gets that way sometimes. I cannot stop it. And I've learned not to tell people about that because then people think I'm weird. Like going, have you ever thought about pushing somebody into the railroad tracks before? And they're like, what the heck is wrong with you? I'm like, I would never do it, but, you know, that thought comes in my mind, and I'm like, go! Get out! Okay? But these are the things, you know, this is what we're looking at. Get rid of that. Where did that just come from? For crying out loud, I would never consider that. But it just shows up in my mind. The wickedness, the trouble, the depravity. And so this is what we're, wherefore, putting away, getting rid of. Well, guess what? When that thought comes in, I don't sit there and entertain it thinking, yeah, you know what? And if I did, here's how I could cover it. You know, oh, my mind, I can get away with it. No! Okay, what the heck? Go! It has to go. And so putting it away, putting away those types of things. In meekness. Now we are pulling directly from that James scripture that we're doing. In meekness, welcome ye the word, fitted for inward growth, which is able to save your nephesh. Okay, I know that's Old Testament, but that's fine. We're good with that. I love that, the word fitted, okay, because I think about a puzzle. Okay? And I remember doing puzzles with my family, and you know, we would always say, there's a way to do a puzzle. I'm like going, there's no instructions for a puzzle. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
You know what was fun? Going back to the putting away the malice and the baseness. I used to like to take one or the two pieces and hide them. Okay? I'm like going, now I know I would bring them back out at the end, but it was kind of fun. Anyways, there was no instructions for it. But everybody knows you start with the outside, right?
Corners.
You start with the borders. You get that all done, and then you work your way in, and you're looking at the colors and everything else to match it. When it comes to the word, don't think of it as any different with a person. You can't take the one piece and shove it down into that person to make that fit. Each person has a separate thing. So that same thing with the deep water, think of that as for a person. When you're talking to a person and instructing a person into the word, that there can be a, Yahweh knows what that piece is. Okay, and so you're interceding. Guess what? It might be a word. You might give the person a word. You might give them the encouragement. You might tell them, hey, let me show you some cool scriptures. It can be anything, but it's fitted. It's not a one-size-fits-all for that, is the way I look at that. I think to myself, one person can go there for years without ever accepting the word. Maybe they just were, you know, fighting it. But a person can get to them, and a person may come and ask, and they might even come belligerently. And if you are, you see it, and he always like tells you, hey, this guy doesn't want it, he just wants to argue and disrupt. Okay, well, I'm done with you. But it might be the person's crying out, I need it, but I'm belligerent, I'm angry, I'm mad at these things, and it's just a properly fitted, word fitted for inward growth. And I like that too because it's also, if you look up the word for that, it's engrafted, the correct puzzle piece. Now, the correct puzzle piece is mine, okay, that's not in the, for the dictionary, but that's it. Oh, come on. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
No, it didn't used to do this. Now it's doing it more and more. And that's where we just were. Okay. Become ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Who do you think that knows the word pretty well?
Satan.
Yeah. He knows the word really, really well. He is not a doer of the word. He's a destructor of the word, but knows the word very, very well. Well, we need to be the ones that are doing it, to break through, to break those bonds, to break those chains. Become. Now, I like this because some translations you look at, it will say, be ye doers. But that word is actually become, it is a transitional word.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that you are not just, well, this person, well, you know how to do it. You've got that gift. No, become. Become ye doers. That is a working thing. It's a work in progress. Remember the teaching Aaron did years ago about the be knocking, be seeking.
Yeah.
Well, that's a continual. It's not a knock and, you know, it's be doing. It's a progress, a continual movement, if you will. This is the same thing, and we have to continually do this. We have to keep doing it. Remember, the whole thing is not to be forgetting the things. How many times have you go through here and you read a scripture and you're like going, I know I've read that. Did I just miss it? Did I forget it? And that's why we have to continually be up on the instructions. Reasoning yourself astray, a slow justification. I am king of this. I can tell you that. I can look at something and you start rationalizing something, you start reasoning it, and now you can, well, whatever happens with that, so reasoning yourselves astray.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time that pulls you away from the instructions. Every single time. And so the more that we reason with something, when we look in the Word and it's clear, the more we are looking for a rationalization. Okay, to pull ourselves away, to make us go astray. And that's where it comes into reasoning yourselves astray. And that's what you see. You see the whole age right now of reason has completely changed everything.
Yeah.
Completely. If you can explain it this way, then we'll give you a correct answer. No, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is where we are today. It's been this way for a long time. I shouldn't say today. Nothing new under the sun. This one here, I like this quote. A few observation and much reasoning lead to error. Many observations and little reasoning to truth. Okay? This is full of observations. Holy cow, the entire book of Kings and Judges. You see over and over and over again the same repeated things. The same repeated things. Thousands of years, same result. Fall away from Yahweh, same result.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we think that us a couple thousand years after that, that's going to be any different?
Yeah.
That's going to be any different. This is observation, okay? The reasoning is, well, I don't think that matters anymore. And, you know, I can find another scripture maybe that does, oh, we'll use that one instead. That's the reasoning that deters from the actual instruction. He observed himself and has gone away. And straight away it hath escaped him. Okay, boy, does that fall right behind this right here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Reasoning yourselves astray. I missed the one quote here, I'm sorry. Let me go back here if it will let me. This one here, this is from Pascal. All your reasoning ends in surrender to feelings. And that is what we're doing. When you are reasoning and rationalizing, it is to satisfy whose feelings? Yahweh's feelings? Your own feelings. Your own feelings. And it's a fight. It's a continual battle. It's a continual battle. They're doing some extra credit here. They got super pervy. They're good for you kids. Call it a page.
665.
Sweet.
Oh, wait, no. 29.
Uh-oh. Oh, I gotta hurry. I gotta beat you.
The scripture in Isaiah or James where it says you look at your
set. 672.
Reminds me when I got my phone and the camera turned on accident.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing worse than that when I'm laying in bed and I kind of prop my head up on the pillow. I'm still in there and I'm going to check the weather and it's right next to my camera button and I hit it and it's on the selfie mode. And I'm like, golly. Is that what I look like? Holy cow.
It's a mistake.
Yeah. It looks like an egg with a face on it. I'm like, what the heck is that? So yes, this is where when I go through there, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, it's perfect. James. Yeah. Okay, Isaiah 29, 13 through 14. Will one of you kids read that for me, please?
I can.
Okay, thank you.
Wherefore my Lord hath said, because this people has drawn near with their mouth, and with their lips have honored me, but their heart have they moved far from me, and so their reverence of me hath become a commandment of men, in which they have been schooled. Therefore behold me, again dealing wonderfully with this people, doing wonderfully a wonderful thing. That's a lot of wonders. So shall perish the wisdom of their wise men, and intelligence of their intelligent men shall end.
That's it. And so when you look at that, it's kind of a weird scripture and a weird verse here, though. But we're referring to this, that I think of, you know, when Christ is dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and I always think about the cup, you know, the washing of the cup, you know, that whole ceremony of washing of the cup, and Christ telling them, you know, what you're doing. And I think to myself, yeah, the same thing, that, you know, with your lips you come to me, but your heart is far from me. It is far away. And so the outward appearance is showing that you're here. But Yahweh knows the heart, and Yahweh sees that your heart is far from Him. And so we're like, okay, we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that type of person. We want the instructions, and guess what? I don't want to just live that. I would rather people look at me on the outside and think that I'm something different and have a good relationship in my hearts with Yahweh than have it the other way around, okay? I would absolutely rather have that, where people discount me, but my heart is good with Yahweh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to do something with this. I'm sorry, guys. All right, next one here. He hath ordained a near view into the perfect law of liberty. What do you think that is? How does that happen? How do we get a near view into the perfect law of liberty?
I don't even know what it means.
We're talking about the perfect instruction that Yahweh's given us. Okay, that we have. Without this, you could totally understand how missionaries have gone around the world to teach people, and people had no idea. What is this?
Yeah.
What is this? And then they read it, and then they understand it, and then they pray about it possibly, or somebody instructs them. Okay? Well, that's because we have a perfect law. We have a perfect law. That is the rules. That's the instruction. Yahweh's given us those things, okay? So how it happens is not by our own understanding and our own observations, because our own observations, we're on the precipice of going socialist.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, it's been tried for hundreds of years. Millions of people have died on account of it, and yet here we are, history trying to roll over and repeat itself again. And so the perfect law says not what I feel, not what I want, but what Yahweh says and what Yahweh wants. He's got a good recipe for making a good batch, okay? And that's it. And taking up this, and so what we're referring to now is we're breaking apart the parts that are the good parts here, and have taken up his abode by it. Okay, in other words, to continue in it. The abode is to abide, to continue in it. Again, this is an ongoing thing. You don't get it, you read it, I believe it, I'm going to confess it, and I'm done. Everything's good. It's a continually thing, a continual knocking off the rust, taking up our cross. Becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a work doer, the same happiness doing shall be. And again, that same word that we saw before that I showed you, that is the become. This is the same word here, becoming. It's an ongoing, a continual process. Becoming not a forgetful hearer. Okay? Becoming. And so it takes time to do that. It's the same thing where I'm listening. How many times have you done that where you were in some seminar and you're listening and then the person goes and you're like going, oh, wow, where are they?
Yeah.
Where are they? Okay? Or you're listening. I'll be listening to a teaching in a car. And I'm like going, my mind has just drifted for I don't even know how long. So I start hitting back and back and back, and I'm like going, that was over 5 minutes that just completely is just gone. And this is it. This is where, when it comes to the Word, it's okay to do that, to veg. I mean, I'm no different than anybody else. I'll sit in front of the TV and just, you know, like what's-his-face says, you open up your nothing box.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm in that nothing box, and I like it. It's a comfortable place. You know? But at the same point, when it's coming to the Word, and we're teaching, and we're going through the things, to try to focus in and direct yourself in so you can hear it and becoming a not a forgetful hearer. Let's go to Joshua. Yehoshua 1.
Page 236.
Oh, sweet. You're quick, girl. We're going to be reading verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1. Anybody want to help me with this?
I will.
Thank you, sweetie.
Say it well. My call.
Only be very firm and bold, taking heed to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Do not turn aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This scroll of the law must not cease out of thy mouth, but thou must talk to thyself therein day and night, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou take thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success.
Absolutely. Have good success. So, and that's the thing, that's the promise all through. Okay? If you do this, expect this. If you don't do this, expect this. Okay? And it's the same way, that we should be the same way, that the instruction, that we not only hear it and are focused in on it, but we are doing it. So here's a quote from George Patton. The time to take counsel of your fears. Okay, and Melania, you had a great teaching on this. When you're teaching, I'm like going, man, that just blends right into this. The time to take counsel of your fears is before you make an important battle decision. The time to listen to every fear you can imagine. When you've collected all those facts and fears and made your decision, turn off all your fears and proceed. Okay. I like that. Of course, that's a battle thing, going into battle, but I'm like going, you know, what do you think it is that we go into every day? Every single day that you're going, that we go out and there's spiritual battles everywhere. Okay, so here's our next one. This is, does anybody ever see the movie Crimson Tide?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a good movie. It was Denzel Washington. I don't remember who the other guy was, but it was about a nuclear launch, and it was like a Trident submarine. But the only reason I say this is because I was going through there that it kind of flashed to me on that. When I was a radio operator, and so when I was going through school, some of the people that I worked with worked in those. I went into special operations. A lot of the radio operators, about 2/3 to 3/4 of them, they went to work as a radio operator for the nuclear control post, is basically what it is. And what that is the airplanes are flying. They had one unit that was in flight. They could not land until another unit had come up and taken place for them, and then they could go and land. And that was for over 12 years they had that. They had launch capability of launching nuclear missiles from that aircraft. Okay? They had the codes, they had everything on there to do this. There's lots of redundancy. And what they had that would come across is called an EAM, and it's an emergency action message. And that's what would happen. It would come through, it was like top priority. Okay, top priority, and then there'd be authentication that you could verify that it was coming, you know, okay, because the EAMs, they came over clear radio. There was nothing that was broken up on them. They weren't secured, but it was a coded message that you would have to, it would go through and be uncoded. And I think about that as I was going through here. The top priority, not to be reasoned with. So if you remember in that movie, the first one came in and told them to launch, okay? And then the second message started coming in, and it got disrupted. And it looked like it was retreating it, but they still wanted to go ahead and launch. Now, that's not the best example for this, actually, as I think about that. But when those would come in, there was no reasoning with them. Okay? Here's the direction. Here's the instructions. Here's what you do. And I always thought about those. The guys who worked in the launch facilities, they had the two keys. They know that if those guys both turn those keys and push that button, they know that they live in a new world. It's a completely different world now, and yet this is not to be reasoned with. We don't sit back. Well, do you think it was a mistake? Do you think that it meant this, or do you think it meant that? And this becomes problematic, and that's why they would train and beat into the people, this is what you have to do. It's not up for reason. Okay? And that's where I see with Yahweh's word that we talk about that. It's a straight line. It does not deviate. We deviate from it, and then we're uncomfortable because we know what the line is, so we try to pull the line over to us instead of pulling us over to the line and correct ourselves. They had on that airplane, okay, this was Scott Rosenberger, was a really good friend of mine in the military. He was one of the guys that worked on that. It's a trailing wire antenna. They called it a TWA. And that antenna, it had a gigantic drone and a spool of cable that was inside the airplane. And they would let that thing go out, sometimes up to 4.5, 5 miles. and that was an antenna, because it was low frequency and very low frequency, and that's why when you see an antenna and it's a really tiny antenna, it's because it's really high frequency. Really low frequencies use larger antennas, and so they would have to let out the amount of antenna that they needed depending on who they were talking to. But they were also relaying it to submarines, they were relaying it to other areas. So if a place got taken out, say that the White House got taken out, okay, the redundancy is there's other modes and means of being able to do this. But the key to it was there's no reasoning in this. When it comes through, this is an act upon order. Not to be discussed, not to be, shall we challenge it, shall we see? And that's where I think about it with Yahweh. If we are more along that line than the other, then it will make it a little bit, I think it'll make it a little bit easier for us. Let's go here. We're going to read this here, and we will be, this is the end of it. Go to Romans 7.
Page
156. Check you out, girl. Okay, and I'll read some of this here. All right, chapter 7, verse 13, and we've got a little bit of reading here, and I'll read this for a little bit. I might ask somebody to help me. All right, starting in verse 13. Then did that which is good unto me become... Am I in the right spot? Okay. Did then that which is good unto me become death? Far be it. But it was sin that it might appear sin through that which was good unto me working out death, in order that exceeding sinful might sin become through the commandment. For we know that the law is spiritual. I, however, am a creature of flesh, sold under sin. For that which I am working out, I do not approve. For not what I wish, the same I practice. Boy, if that doesn't speak to, directly to me, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I have to fight against it. But this is exactly what he's saying. The last part of that. But what I hate, the same I do. Now, if what I wish not, the same I do, I consent unto the law that it is right. Now, however, no longer am I working it out, but the sin that dwelleth in me, I know in fact that there dwelleth not in me, that is in my flesh, anything good, for the wishing lieth near me, but the working out of what is right, not. For not the good that I wish I do, but the evil that I do not wish, the same I practice. Now, if what I wish not, the same I do, no longer am I working it out, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Hence I find the law, to me who wish to be doing the right, that unto me the wrong lieth near. I have, in fact, sympathetic pleasure in the law of man, according to the inner man. But I behold a diverse law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and taking my captive in the law of sin, which existeth in my members. And I think about that as I was reading it and going through that. I'm like going, you know, when they say put on the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm like going, what does the mind do? The mind controls the body. Okay? We don't let the body control the mind. The mind dictates. And so when we're having a problem with our own mind, hey, you know what? Christ, I'm putting your mind of you on, because the mind of you will not be thinking this way. And so this is what I need to be doing and to be changing this. The mind controls the body. Wretched man am I, who shall rescue me out of this body, doomed to death. But thanks be unto Yahweh through Yehoshua Christ our Lord. Hence then, I myself with my mind indeed am servitude unto the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh unto a law of sin. Hence, now we're in chapter 8. Hence there is now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has set thee free from the law of sin and death. For what is impossible by the law, in that was weak through the flesh, Yahweh, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in order that righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who not according to flesh do walk, but according to Spirit. For they who according to the flesh have their being, the things of flesh do prefer. But they according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For what is preferred by the flesh is death, whereas what is preferred by the Spirit is life and peace, insomuch as what is preferred by the flesh is hostile towards Yahweh. For unto the law of Yahweh it doth not submit itself, neither in fact can it. Moreover, who in flesh have their being cannot please Yahweh. But ye have not your being in flesh, but in spirit. If at least Yahweh's spirit dwelleth in you, and if anyone hath not Christ's spirit, the same is not his. But if Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead by reason of sin, whereas the spirit is life by reason of righteousness. If moreover the spirit of him that raised Yahushua from among the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised from among the dead, Christ Jesus, shall make alive even your dead doomed bodies through means of his indwelling spirit within you. And that's it. And so when you see that, I'm like going, okay. So yes, it's a wrestle, and yes, it's a continual battle, and it's the instruction that clarifies and gives this to us. And so for us to be changing our thinking, changing all those, removing those things that ensnare us. Some of those things are things that is pleasure to the body. These are things that we want. And it's like, well, but those ensnare us and they pull us away. And then the instructions take second. Okay? Because if our body is leading our mind, it's going to be leading us into sin. Okay? It just is going to be. It is the mind that controls it, and the mind and the battle that takes place to force our body to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it's only through instruction that we find those. Okay.
Hallelujah.
That is it. I am going to have a quick prophecy for anybody watching, and then we'll close up. Yahweh, we thank you for this. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the sharing. We thank you for all the believers here. We just thank you for peace in them, for just comfort, for the blessings that you give, and that we are continually seeking you and seeking your wisdom, and we just thank you for that. We thank you, Christ, for the price that you paid, that we are able to have your authority, that we have the same spirit in us that raised your son, Yahweh, that raised your son from the dead. And so we thank you for that, that we continue continually remind ourselves. It's should be an immediate boost, a shot to us to elevate us and to energize us into your being. For what you have done, Christ, to give us that authority, we thank you. And so we thank you for the words that you also speak to us, that we're able to come before you and intercede, supplicate, and to hear from you. And we speak this all in your son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I call upon you to cast out the dark, to cast out these things, and to steer yourself away from the things that your eyes are attracting you to, for your eyes will deceive you. For of these things that your eyes show you, it satisfies the senses of your body, but it does not show you the things of me, and it does not show you the heavenlies and the things that I have given to you and made available to you. Do not trust in your senses and in your eyes and in your beliefs, but trust in the things that I have promised. For I have shown and I have written about these things, that you are able to grasp a hold and to know and understand. Speak to me that I may be able to elevate you, that I may be able to equip you, that as you come before me and you humble yourself down, that I will fill you and I will be your guide. As you allow me, I will be your guide, and I will stress to you all the love that I have, that the steps that I am calling you to do, and the life that I am giving to you, that I am to bless you greatly in this life and in that to come. Amen. Mm-hmm.